What's up, F3 Boise? Welcome back to the Stuff Worth Sharing podcast. This is Garrett Marsall, 37, Cortana.
And James Whitman, 41, Hooch.
And this is episode 14. And it has been a bit.
Yes, 6 weeks, almost exactly.
6 weeks. I think it was June 12th? June 11th?
10th.
June 10th.
June 10th.
So a lot has happened since then.
Yes, but we're compensating for that by bringing twice as many packs to the podcast. So I'm going to turn it over and let them do a little name-a-rama, and we'll introduce them as we go through this. So,
Ryan Hill, 49, Cheeks.
Cheeks.
Eric Gardner, 36, Bedpan.
Bedpan.
And I hope you boys like that second voice, because you're going to be hearing a lot more from that man in the near future.
I don't even know if y'all know what you're doing here. So, y'all done a beatdown in the bloom with me before?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Once or twice.
It gets weird, dude.
I can't be anywhere. We put rump roast on this podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
Suspicious. I don't know what y'all are doing.
Well, welcome both of you guys. It's good to have you on the show.
Yeah. So we got July 22nd. For those of you keeping track at home, if you're listening to this out of order, like, what in the world are you doing? But thank you for checking out the back catalog. Yeah. So let's hear it. Like, what's been worth sharing? We've had a ton of time and some opportunity. What's been going on recently in the lives of the packs?
I mean, I'll start.
Please.
I've got a story. All right. So I was down in California for the 4th of July. We were on vacation, just seeing my family. And I've got a friend down there that I actually kind of EH'd remotely to F3, Temecula. So I always like to see him and beat down with them when I'm down there. And so they were having a 4th of July convergence, which is awesome. So I show up a little early, and I'm kind of waiting for my friend to show up. And there's this old guy kind of just waiting for someone else to show up too. And he keeps looking at me, kind of staring at me. And I'm like, what's this guy's problem? And so I go up to him, and I introduce myself. And, you know, I'm Cortana. And he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, you were at my first beatdown. And I'm like,
what?
Well, okay, maybe. Like, I doubt it. And he goes, yeah, in Meridian, Idaho. Huh. I'm like, okay. And he goes, yeah, do you know Lawsuit? I say, yes. Yeah. He goes, I'm Lawsuit's father-in-law. I was like, no way. So he was up here, I guess, you know, at one of our beatdowns. And he goes, is Hooch still there? I said, well, yeah, of course. And he tells me this. He says, you have to tell Hooch that when he... I guess you picked him up as the six, and you walked with him.
Okay.
And that stuck out to him. And he said, Hooch inspired me to go on and do the Big Bear Beast, as in the Spartan Beast.
No.
Yes. So that is a 13.1 miles, a half marathon event with 30 obstacles in Big Bear, which is in the mountains. It's the highest elevation beast that they do. And he was the second oldest guy to complete it.
How old was he?
I don't, is he late 60s?
Did you say what was his F3 name?
His F3 name is Jig.
Jig. Okay.
So he told me to tell you that he appreciates you inspiring him to go and do something crazy like that.
Oh, that's cool.
So
Jig, if this ever finds its way to you and you hear this, man, well done. I'm so very proud of you. Don't give me any credit for that, because you know what? I pick up the six most of the time because I don't want to run.
You look like a hero, though.
I love you, man. That's amazing.
So I just thought that was a super cool story. And I wanted to say, I think I had told Bedpan that, but I wanted to save that for you on the show. Fun fact, the oldest guy to complete it did no obstacles. Jig did 19 of the 30.
Wow. Nice.
So as far as I'm concerned, he won.
Yeah.
Woo.
That's great. Where's that applause button?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's for Jig. So that's what I got to share.
Yeah. Very cool. This one, I've been kind of sharing this message as I've been going around beatdowns for the past couple weeks through a few circles of trust, kind of going through a bit of a funk. Cortana, we were talking about this as we were recording, before we were recording, kind of the irony of the last time we were here, we were talking about just men's mental health and reaching out and, you know, paying attention and staying with it. So I've been going through a funk. It's definitely felt like a bit of a depression. But I got in a conversation with my wife. You know, I could see that, like, her stress levels were elevated. Her anxiety was kind of elevated because, like, I'm not myself. And she brought that to me. And one of the things that I took away from that conversation was just like, you're not you. You're not doing the things that, you know, I can normally expect from you. Like the kids deserve, like when the kids say they want to go to the pool, you tell them, no, I don't want to. Hmm. And that like, that immediately just flipped a switch on me. And it's like, mother, I've been talking this whole, you know, this last 3 years about trying to live third and live by that kind of that mantra and having that be a core of, you know, who I think I am and who I should be. And like, that was just a perfect example of like, you're not meeting the standard. Hmm. And that was this little thing that just got put in my brain. It's like, man, it gets so dangerous when we kind of go off on our own and we start setting the standard for ourselves. Like, I feel like I'm doing a good job. But when you talk about that, you know, living third when you're serving others, you don't get to set the standard. You don't get to decide what's good enough, especially when you're talking about, you know, your spouse, your kids, you know, to an extent, your work, your friends.
Yeah.
Like they get to decide if they're getting enough from you or you're providing them enough to be supportive and be the person in their life that they need you to be. So that definitely set some flags up in my head. It's like, that's good to hear. It's awful to hear. You know, you don't like those moments where you find out that you're falling short, but man, knowing that you're short of the standard, that's good information to have.
Yeah. You got to start somewhere.
No, I mean, it just, it lets you know that you have to be accelerating. And when you stop accelerating, man, like the finish line moves.
Yeah.
So it's like, you get comfortable where you're standing and it's like, everything shifts around you. You know, just because you get complacent and you think you're happy with where you're at, I mean, that's when the, like I said, when that goal line moves. So guys, it's an uncomfortable question to ask, but like, talk to the people in your life that you think you're good with. It's like, how am I doing? Like, do you feel loved and supported and cared for from me? Or is there something more I could be doing? And like, be ready for that answer to be no. And it's not a commentary on, you know, who you should, I guess it's not a big negative dig on who you are. It's, you could be more. I think that's the best way to put it. So that's what I've got worth sharing.
That's good, man. So you're doing better. You coming?
Yeah. We're coming around. Okay. It's usually about the point that I realize that I'm in that funk and I get in that little bit of a dark place and things start to kind of sink into the mud. That's about the point where it's like, oh, this sucks. I want out of here.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I got this image in my head and doodle. I know you probably went to the same place. You ever seen Neverending Story?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Where they go through the swamp of sadness.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all crying.
And the horse just sinks into the mud because it's sad.
Dude, just trauma. Childhood trauma.
Right.
Yeah. Well, man, thank you for sharing that. I feel like, and I don't know if y'all go through that periodically throughout the year, but I for sure do. I mean, you know, you get the sads like January, February, you know, and then it starts to get warm. You're just like, yes, I'm ready. But yeah, like July, I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's just, you know, I mean, we're super busy at our house and we always have stuff going on and, you know, which can lead to a little bit more drinking on the weekends and, you know, a little bit more party time, which then you have that like rebound of like, ugh, now, you know, gotta the anxieties, the Sunday scaries, you know? And so, and it, I mean, physiologically, like that makes sense. You know, that's your brain chemistry. Like,
yeah.
Dude, you don't need to have all this junk in you, man, you know? So, I have been dealing with that as well. So I feel you, dude. I feel you. It's hard.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah. I mean, and sometimes it's hard to separate the symptoms from the disease, right? It's like, which is the red flag for which one? Is the depression the start of, you know, the drinking increasing, or is the drinking increasing go back into the depression? And like, where does the feedback loop start? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I figured it's just wherever the hell you catch yourself.
Right.
Hey, I'm kind of depressed. Maybe I should ease back on the drinking. Or hey, maybe I've been drinking a lot. Maybe I should think about where my mental health space is right now and why I'm doing that. So mm-hmm. it's all about recognizing the flag. So you have that, God, that earliest opportunity to pull yourself out of that cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure.
No, that's good. Glad you're doing better.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Cheeks, do you have anything? Not to put you on the spot, but we're going to.
No. And I appreciate you sharing that. And I listened to the last podcast on the mental health piece that you guys did, which was awesome. And like both Hooch and Bedpan sharing in the last week some of the things they've been going through in Circle of Trust. And I'm not one that speaks up a lot in that. So it's helpful because you know, we're all struggling with something, and we're here for each other. We're in it together. So appreciate the vulnerability.
Well, Cheeks, I'll give you credit. I don't want to blast your ouch on anything you've talked about, but I mean, you've brought up things that you've struggled with, sure, in your life that are severely impactful. I mean, a lot of guys would have just let that go, and it's like, these guys know me out here in the gloom. They don't need to know anything about my personal life. But you've brought things up in the past that were important that were going on. So
for sure,
don't sell yourself short there. You take advantage of it.
Yeah. But I think the cool thing, I was talking to you guys before we started, my son came out for the first time to gym on this last Saturday. Nice. And so he chose to come back, and I was leading the queue over at Old Glory. And then I asked him, well, what do you think? Do you like it? And he said, I wouldn't say I liked it. I don't think anyone would say they liked it, but he's going to come back out tomorrow and do it again on, you know, so that's exciting. I'd like to, you know,
who named him?
I can't remember who the Q was.
It was
Wooderson. It was Wooderson.
What would he give him?
Yeah. So log rider. So you'll have to ask him when you see him, because it was an embarrassing story. So
of course.
Yeah.
So that's great.
That's funny how Woody gets to those.
Yeah.
Dude, you know what? You come to beat down and I'm queuing, I'm going to name you. You bring an FNG, I'm going to give you a hard name. I'm going to try. I have asked ChatGPT, like, hey, what are some FNG names that I can get to give somebody a weird name? So Polaroid, I tried to get Polaroid a goofy name, but it didn't work. Who else was out there recently that I tried to give? I don't know. I'll ask them, like, what's your guilty pleasure song? What was your first weird job that you've ever had?
Those are good questions, though.
Bro, people are given too cool of names. Lately, yeah. I will say, like, we have too many cool guys out there. We need some bedpans. I need like, you know, Flea Fly, where you at? Do we need a cool patch for the guttural names of F3? Where's what was his lot lizard at, dude? Yeah. Lot he didn't lizard. Come back. Surprise. Nope. Surprise. We don't have lot lizard anymore.
Well, so I talk about the Costco test. And that's just so when you're
please
when
explain.
You're, so when you're tossing out names for a guy, like, you gotta think before you name him, especially when I'm the Q and I'm picking the name, like, you go through the Costco test. Like, if I see that dude in Costco with his family, am I gonna be okay shouting that dude's name across a crowd of people?
Yeah.
I mean, the worse it is, the better for me. Yeah. But it's like the family has to be like, I don't want all the shoulders to fall and all the eyes go to the floor. And it's like, oh my God.
Well, what's funny is so let's use Bedpan as an example, or Rump Roast. Like, we use those names. Like, I call you that I don't think of a bedpan when I'm calling you that. Like, in my mind, that's your name. And so, like, at Costco, it's just going to come out, and then I'm not going to think about it until after it's left.
But it's also context. It's also context. Professional nurse.
Yeah.
Right. Like, this is the family should be inoculated to this. Yeah, they should be okay.
That's true.
Yeah.
Everybody else can deal with
it. So there's a crew of us that live in Calistoga. It's the Calistoga, Real Housewives of Calistoga. Shout out to all y'all dudes. So we all have kids kind of around the same age. And so Mr. Rogers' daughter, she'll ride her bike in front of my house, and anytime I'm out there, she's like, "Hi, Bedpan." Like, damn it, Abigail, it's Mr. Bedpan. So yeah, I mean, it is. It's endearing, and I've come to really enjoy it. But dude, if I'm queuing, bro, you better
FNGs, watch out.
Yeah. Kids these days. So I mean, with that, so Bedpan, this is kind of your audition.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're looking to fill that third chair, and we're looking, you know, so we started thinking, it's like, what did Doodle bring to the table? You know, some energy, immaturity.
Yeah, yep.
A little bit of that irreverent humor.
Some energy, yeah.
Like a bedpan.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
So let's... let's give the gentleman across the valley a little introduction. You know, the 12 people that listen to this podcast.
I know. Yeah. Where's Bricks? Where's all our guys?
So give us the intro. Who brought you out? How'd you get your name? I think we got there already, but what has F3 meant to you and why have you stuck around?
Man. Okay. So Moab moved in right across the street from me. And it's funny because my wife and I were watching Moab move. You know what I mean? People move in, you're spying on them. So we are looking out our window and it's Moab and Huckleberry, moving stuff into Moab's stuff. I'm like, what? These boys, they both have big long beards. What is going on here? So, and I tongue in cheek told my wife, I was like, maybe they'll be our new best friends. And so, dude, lo and behold, we're homies. And so, which is great because Moab is the second FQ for the High Desert region. That's him. He's that guy. So he goes to the pool and, he's just out there just hitting on dudes with no shirt on and guys like, yeah, I'll come hang out with you in the morning. No problem. And so he's the magnet man, he'll come out there. He just has a really big personality, really endearing, loving personality. So, shout out to Moab. He got me out. And it's, him talking I've been peopling all day.
Yeah, you're good.
So him explaining it to me, it sounded like AA, to be honest. I was like, at the time I really wasn't into the religion deal. It seemed a little bit too free. And we need to talk about our feelings. dude, I'm okay. And so, it's Moab. So every time I went out there, he's like, what are you doing in the morning? And I'm just like, sleeping, dude. so he kept bugging me about it, and when he explained it to me, I knew this was something that I wanted to do. It just sounded awesome. I had jiu-jitsu. I did jiu-jitsu over at SPG Idaho, and it was lived and died by that. It was great. And so, and then COVID happened, and then everything shuts down, and I work in healthcare, and so we just had a brand new baby. We moved. Just everything is uprooted. And so just knowing, and I work with women, like I'm a nurse, I work with women. And so just needing that dude time to just break up work mode, dad mode, and then just to have that. So it has meant a lot to me. It's been super impactful, and it came in right at a perfect time in my life as well. Everyone knows that my father-in-law was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in November, and so I had started coming out to F3 in August, and so I think the end of August was my first beatdown, and so the amount of support the amount of support was unreal whenever stuff hit the fan, and so it was just really. It affected my wife, so meaningfully, and we were just, we had so much food and just support and just love from everyone. So it was just really, it just kind of just showed just how, much this can make an impact on the community, which is its intention. So you guys are doing the real thing. Good job, F3 Boise. Y'all are putting your, where it goes. So I got named at the Goose Convergence. Kraken says he names me. I don't know, Kraken. There was a lot of guys, dude. But it was what's funny about getting named is, and I did a ton of research before I came out, so I kind of knew that there was nicknames and stuff, and it's like, oh, okay, I'm gonna say that I'm a nurse, and they're gonna be like, lifesaver, and healthcare hero, or you think you're gonna say something cool, and you're gonna get just the best thing ever.
And so Moab gave you a real distorted impression.
No, dude, that was, he offered to rename me, and I kind of was I knew that was, I've been around enough guys to be like, no, dude, I'm sure that's probably not a good idea.
You know what the default second name is, right?
Oh yeah, it's worse. It's
Karen.
Okay. I would get a Karen vanity plate over a bedpan. For real though. So being named in front of a group of guys, you can have kind of what you think that your name is going to be. And I think that case in point is Ringworm. Ringworm, he needs a patch. He needs a shitty F3 patch. So he came out and he was like, you know, I'm a wrestler. Like, I'm a collegiate wrestler. I coach wrestling. You know what I mean? And sure, like, he was like, I'm going to get full Nelson. I'm going to get single leg. Dude, they're going to be something cool.
He catches some stray from left field.
Yeah, it was strings. Just wrestler? Strings.
Oh, Ringworm.
Yeah, Ringworm. And everybody instantly. Ringworm. Toast. And he's just like, all right. So, I don't know. It's kind of funny. That's what makes F3 F3 is, you know, you're coming out, you get a name. It can be cool or it can be, you know. I don't know. Maybe the bad names are cool.
Is there any better feeling in the world than when you're shouting out names at a naming and the cue picks the name that you pick for the guy?
Yeah. Like, yeah, that hasn't happened yet, dude.
Mine.
No, not for me. I mean, I've named, you know what I mean? But no, I've never done that before.
I got one just this morning.
What'd you got?
Lurch.
Oh.
We named it Dude Lurch.
Okay, yeah.
I got a story when we get into FNG.
All right.
It's a good one. Good.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So that's a little old bedpan. So I appreciate you guys offering me to be on here. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm a big podcast guy. So wow. Yeah, dude, let's do
it. Well, and just since you said you came out in August last year, just since then, you've stepped up to AOQ of Tower and, you know, you're leading in COT and like just the leadership in F3 has just skyrocketed.
It was like 3 months later and the dude's in AOQ and I'm looking like, all right.
But, like, you bring so much energy to the table. Just out in the gloom, and I think that's contagious, and guys see that. So good on you for doing that and bringing that out.
Yeah, I took big old drinks of the Kool-Aid when I think Gopher was queuing and Hooch was queuing. I'm just like, oh my god, this is so good. Yeah, so I'm anybody else got any cool cults that you want to sign bedpan up for? Let me know.
He has the personality for it.
See, I'm just not as funny. Like, this is great because I can sit back and just laugh. I'm not nearly as funny as Bedpan.
You got a great laugh for the pod. It's good.
Dude, all y'all have really good voices, too. Like, I'm scared to go back and listen to mine, to this. I won't go back and listen to this. But, like, the recording that you did in the beginning, bro, it's professional. No, Hooch, you can just do ASMR. Just rub your beard up against the mic. Tell people night-night stories.
Man, what kind of nightmares did you have? You fall asleep on this podcast and you're here.
I don't know, dude. Just turn up the subs really loud. Let it rock you to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean,
might have to edit.
There are weirder things on the internet, you know?
Infinitely.
Yeah.
Infinitely. So, gosh, guys, it's been like 6 weeks since we sat down. Like, what's been going on in the F3 world that we've got to report back? What's happened? What's went well? I've been kind of just hitting beatdowns. I haven't been out to many events lately. So, what have you guys been to?
I feel like I've been out the last month. Just whether if it's work, if it's not work, it's vacation. So I feel like I've missed 3.5 weeks in the gloom straight.
So Tower and Rebel, we go to the for cafeteria, we go to Albertson's Starbucks right there. And if anybody has ever gone there, you may or may not have met Judy, aka Bubbles. She is the best barista. Like, she hooks us up with free samples. She got me balloons on my birthday, made a sign, happy birthday, bedpan. Like, I mean, she made us cookies 1 year for after Christmas. With F3 on the cookies. I don't know, Huckleberry will try to sue her and she was like, no, because it's copyright infringement, but whatever.
only if you sell them.
So her birthday was like the 14th, I think, of July. And so we pulled together some money for her. And so I think it was over like $200 that we raised for her. But I mean, like, the day people were like, you know, putting cash down for her. So she's great. She's awesome. So I'm glad that we showed her some love.
Dude, shout out to Judy.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So we failed there. All right. Unprofessional podcast. I apologize, but we're going to raise the bar here. So we got upcoming events, a little bit happening here at the end of July, and then August starts to fill up, boys. And man, if we start running into this fall, it's going to start getting busy and busy and busy. Mm-hmm. So here we go. This Saturday, out at Camelsback, We've got Retina running a CSOP from 0500 to 0800. We're getting ready for the Spartan race. So whether you're running the Spartan or not, I talked to Retina this morning. This can be if you need to drop in, drop out. You don't want to do the whole 3 hours. It's cool. His main intention is to get everybody ready for those hill runs. So come on out, get ready to work. Retina's going to put you in the dirt, man. So oh, yeah. That's what he does. Immediately the next, so actually, the next weekend, August 2nd, Black Canyon, actually having a breakfast out there in Emmett. So if you want to head up and back down the hill and join those gentlemen out there for a beat down and then breakfast to follow. August 9th, we have said Spartan race kicking off. I've heard like 20 guys from F3 are on the books to hit that up.
Seems right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're one of those dudes, good luck. Keep working, man. Hopefully we have another – no, we won't have another pod before you do that, but maybe we'll find somebody who hits that. Hey, if you want to be a guest here on the pod and you're doing that Spartan race, reach out. We'll bring you in here and see how uncomfortable we can make you. August 16th, we have Aaron Butler, an annual veterans community benefit run. They have a 5K, a 10K, and an unknown distance. I've been going to that. I've been, to the last four of them. So it's an awesome time, guys. Coming up at the end of this month, registration right now is $40 until the end of the month. After that, it goes up to $50. With that registration, you get a T-shirt. You get a competitor's medal once you finish. You get all the fun and excitement of being able to get out there and compete and give to a great cause. And free beer.
There you go.
I mean, if that means anything to you, free beer.
Dude, yeah.
Great time. A group of us always go out and we ruck the 10K. So if you want to head out, it's going to be at Eagle Island. So we're actually going to have some shade this year. It's not going to be out at the Eagle Bike Park. We just burnt under the sun. That cooked me. So we'll get some shade. We're going to do that 10K with rucks on. Usually we pick up an FNG or two. So that sounds like fun. Please put that on your map. Valley Wide Convergence. This is going to be at Camelsback, August 23rd. 0600. I know there's been some confusion and consternation about what the start time is. It is 6 o'clock. It's on a Saturday. Come out to Camelsback, especially if you've never been out to the Black Hole. This is a great time of year to be there. Yeah. So especially at 6 a.m. when the light's finally going to get out, you'll actually be able to see the park. So it's, I don't know what's worse, going up that hill in the dark when you don't actually know where the top of it is, or is like, oh, there, that's a lot of stairs.
I think the answer is yes.
Yes.
Moab was talking about that this morning, talking about parking. So try to clown car if you can. Mm. The parking lot's kind of small. There is street parking, so you know there shouldn't be too bad, but you know, be mindful.
You can always park on the backside.
Yeah.
True.
And then the last thing I got here, Flipper just recently decided to put together a little family F3 river float. So this can be on the Boise. It's going to be from Barber Park down to Ann Morrison. That's going to be August 30th, starting at 1:30 in the afternoon. So families are welcome. So if you want to come out, if you haven't gotten in the river and floated down yet, come do it with some of your buddies from the Gloom.
Sweet.
All right, I've been talking a lot. But now I got to talk some more because now it's time for my favorite part of the show.
Oh, that's the wrong. Oh. Hit the wrong button.
You hit it with such confidence. FNG!
That's it.
Dang.
All right, here we go. We got some good ones this go around. All right, we got motivators. I don't know what number variety they are, just so you know.
Sheets is five.
Sheets is up to seven. We get to December, I'm not going to any sheet views,
right.
Just so you know. We got Hammy, Tabby, Shockwave, Sugar Fire, Log Rider, Outlast, Shingles. We don't know if that's the viral infection or the roofing material, but
he's a double respect, so it can go both ways. Yeah. I love you, Shingles. I named him. I love you, dude.
That Walgreens commercial.
Yeah.
Your vaccinations. Eggy, spicy chicken.
Yes.
And just today, we had four new gentlemen come through the welcome page. We've got Lurch. Story, just come back to that. Bunyan, Fuji, and cowbell.
Nice.
Everything's better with more cowbell. So Lurch actually just pulled up, hops out of his car, joins us in the circle. We're like, we're doing side straddle hops. And it's like, who's this guy? And like, and everybody's got the same look. It's like, oh, nobody knows
him. He just shows up.
Found us off like somebody's LinkedIn profile.
Wow.
He was looking at somebody's LinkedIn and the guy said, hey, you know, when you move to a new area, look up F3. It's a group of guys that you need to go meet. And it's like,
dude, that's awesome.
That's a new one. All right then.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
So Lurch came right alongside. It was pretty good. He's a big dude.
Oh yeah.
He has no idea. He didn't know who Lurch was. So when I threw Lurch out and he says, who's Lurch? And we go, it's you.
Big old boots to fill, bud. Well,
look it up, dude. That's really funny. All right, so we've got VQs. We've got 13 VQs that have happened in the last 6 weeks. So I will go through this list here. So we had Icy Hot at Goose Dynasty. We had Hops at Gem. Beaver at Bleach. All right.
Some of these guys
I don't know. So this is revelatory for me. Rope Hole.
Shut up, dude. Really?
Also at Bleach.
Wow. We missed that one in the FNGs. Apparently, he's not on Slack.
I'm looking around the table. I'm like, this is correct, right? I'm not making this up.
Rope Hole?
Rope Hole. Okay. Right. Well, welcome, Rope Hole. Congrats on your VQ.
Yeah.
We had Drag Race at Camel's Back. Victim at the Backyard. Actually, I'll come back to Victim. I have a story there, too. Amtrak at Liberty. Linux, at Black Canyon. C Battery at Iron Mountain.
Is like Charlie Battery.
Yeah. So I remember calling him out in the last show as an FNG.
Yeah, good job.
So between last show and this show, he stepped it up to VQ. That's great. Trench at Iron Mountain, Black Box at Interceptor. I got Rope Hole. Ransomware at Freedom Park. So nice job on your VQ, guys. back to Victim. I was out of town and Victim texts me. He hadn't queued before. And this was like 4th of July weekend. And he's like, hey, can I just plant, you know, have the flags, keep backyard open, and then just do a ruck. You know, as I've never done this before. I'm like, dude, yeah, go for it. I'm like, technically it's your VQ. We won't count it as your VQ because we want everyone to come and celebrate your VQ.
Rucks don't count as VQs.
So shout out to Victim for stepping up and actually holding open the backyard while we were all out of town. And then we had his VQ, I think, the following week. So
yeah, Victim really likes using the baseball diamond.
Oh, that was crazy.
Like Doppler got it, sliding into home.
Yep. No, that was, he did a wiffle ball cue recently, which is pretty fun.
Here, and we're going to try something. See how good the new guy can swim here.
Yeah.
You want to hit us with those milestones at the bottom there, buddy?
Dude, you're going to make me read your handwriting.
All right, well,
live on air.
We're going to do
this. You're a nurse. You work with doctors. Yeah, you can't figure out what I've got there.
That's true.
Because we've got some good milestones here.
Da, 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 da.
No, wait for it. You're gonna know when you hear it.
Oh snap!
All right, Bedpan, hit us with those milestones.
Coming out of the red corner, Sunday.
So with 100 beatdowns, we got Trim to the Reaper, Huggies, Shocky with 200. We're looking at Kraken.
So that's 200 Boise beatdowns.
200 right. Boise beatdowns. And then at 300 beatdowns, Wonka, Pigeon, and Robin. 400 beatdowns, we've got the big, the one, the only, Faceplant. At 500 beatdowns, Mr. Big Sky and Chlorine. Oh man, we got the goat. We got the goat coming in at 700, Senior Gopher, and yeah, dude. What?
Wait, hang on.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Here we go.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here we go. Ready?
Yeah. Go for it.
We got it. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready? Okay. Hey, we got at 800 beatdowns. We've got the one, the only big bald hooch in the house.
There it is.
And if I hadn't written it down on my own paper, I wonder if he would have forgot.
No, we would have had it. I had it written down.
No, because you had it written down.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, everybody. to those milestones. We got some big ones, some monumental ones.
Dude, those 300s, man. 300, like, that's always the most important one that I think of. And then at 500, you can stop counting.
Until you get to 800.
This is just what you do. Once you hit 500, this is just you.
I mean, if you're a consistent dude, they do seem to go by pretty quick. Like, I feel like Moab just had his 300. I'm coming up on 200. Like, it's like, if you're consistent, man, you look down and you're like, whoa, I've got a couple under me.
Well, it's like sheets. I feel like every...
He wasn't on this one.
Every 2 months, he's going up another 100.
Yeah, seven days a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She takes a week vacation every 3 months. The only reason anybody else ever gets the belt.
Right.
Yeah, I won't listen to this podcast, so everybody has to tell me if that was embarrassing or not.
It was perfect.
Dude, you know what?
Nice job.
That's what we're looking for. It's why we hired you.
That's great, dude.
Okay, so you guys all got that. Do you guys know what that music was from?
Rocky.
Okay, the hooch music was. So this is Rocky.
Yeah.
Okay, what about this one?
The Chicago Bulls.
Thank you.
Whoa. Yes.
Okay.
Dang. 1990.
This is like Michael Jordan walkout, Chicago Bulls, early 90s. Okay, as long as we got it. I was what are we? This is
or Space Jam, even.
Yeah. If you said Space Jam, that's close enough. I'll take Space Jam.
Yeah.
All right. So I think.
Yeah, so with that, I mean... Cheeks, you win. Yeah. You win the trivia portion.
Sweet.
and so we brought you in as the guest this week. So before we jump into why we've got you here, let's give everybody just kind of the introduction. How'd you get your name? What brought you to F3, and what's keeping you around?
Yeah, I'm sneaking up on 3 years here in August.
Hell yeah.
From when I started. So Napoleon brought me out a week after he started. In business together, and hey, check this out. There's a bunch of dudes get up early and go work out. I'm like, all right, check it out. So it was just like instant. Like I've been needing this. I haven't had this for years and years. You know, since you played ball back in school or whatever, and just being around that environment again was pretty cool. At the time, and really, Hooch had shared a little bit. Had a lot of stuff going on with marriage, and now I've gone through divorce, and just having a group of guys that have been through that before, some were going through it, but just having guys you can sit down with and talk to when you're really struggling. So I was out for like 4 months, and then I took like 6 months off. So sad clown for a long time, but it was Rocket Man kept. He kept pinging me and tagging me and, hey, come on out and how's it going? And other guys too. And so I finally started coming back out and been really consistent since. So I ended up, I was AOQ over at Old Glory for like 10 months. And so that was a fun growing experience and just helping lead that and passing it on. The fellowship part has been the most important part for me, just getting through a lot of really, really challenging times over the last 2-3 years. So appreciate that. And you guys have, been Hooch. I've probably been at the most with you, beat downs. And so, just appreciate that. But I got my name. This was back in a previous life when I was a high school science teacher. So that first beat down, I fell for the embarrassing story trick that try to get everybody to do now. So up there at the whiteboard, this was like overhead projector. Some of you younger guys don't even know what that is, but up at the whiteboard, it's like halfway through the morning, like third, fourth period, and I coached girls basketball at the time. So one of my players, Mr. Hill, you have a tear in your pants. But I'm like, I didn't know. Look down all the way across, right below my ass. It was torn. My pants were torn all the way across.
So, all day long.
Yeah. So cheeks came out pretty quick. I wore a lab coat the rest of the day. So
that's funny.
Yep. So anyway, that's how I got named.
Still left you keep teaching. Put your butt hanging, butt hanging out.
This was before, like, every kid had the cameras.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Which the lab coat was an odd decision as he was a Spanish teacher.
Yeah.
Well, right on, man.
Yeah.
Well, I know one of the reasons we asked you to come on is you just recently went through kind of one of the classic F3 crucibles out there in the wider world with attending a GTE, a Grow Ruck training event. So you're up in Seattle. Aside from Gopher, who went as a trainer, you were the only one from Boise who went up for that, correct?
Yeah, only one from our area. And it was awesome having Gopher there and just having a friendly face. And, you know, he was just to touch base with him throughout the night. And so, you know, he's so encouraging. And, we had a cadre that, you know, the cadres, you have one that's just a hard ass, right? And just you can't do anything right. And
so what is a cadre? What's the verb? What is that verbiage?
The cadre, they're like kind of leading the whole thing. There's two or three cadres, and so they are like the drill sergeant, basically, okay. Right? So they're just on you the whole time, and like I think Hooch mentioned it when I was asking him, what's this thing all? And he's like, it's going to be a lot of games of failure.
Like failure games, absolutely, 100%.
Doesn't matter how well you do, you're not going to win, and you're gonna feel it. And so the main guy that was doing that, but go for it. A couple points, he was trying to step into that role, and I'm like, go for it. That's cute. Just because I know him, I'm like, he's such a nice, you know, positive dude. But it was good having him out there for sure.
So, you've done a Grow Ruck.
Yes, sir.
Just the one, right?
Yeah.
So you were down in California for yours.
Yeah, I was just north of Sacramento, and I went with Methane at the time.
All right.
Methane and I went through the event, and then Robin and Guac ran support.
Right on.
Yeah.
I was part of the one here in Boise. I was lucky enough to be on board for that one. You've got yours in Seattle.
Yeah, it was my first one.
Which means I got my crosshairs on you.
I know. Well, explain to me what it is.
Hey.
I don't really know.
See, that's the kind of professional kind of transition I was looking for there. So I knew we picked the right guy. So Grow Ruck training event. It comes out of Go Ruck. So Go Ruck has these events where they take athletes, you know, CrossFit athletes for the most part, and just put them through, like there's a 24, a 48, and a 72-hour, and they're just, you can find these videos on YouTube, and they're just, you talk about failure games. They just push these guys to exhaustion and beyond that. And it's just this game of can these guys finish? And like the last 10 hours, it's just nothing but you should quit. You should really quit. You know, if you stop, this would be over. I don't think you should keep going. And it's terrible. So F3 said, hey, let's take a piece of that. But let's put a little more purpose behind it, and let's actually teach and try to build something out of it. And the idea is that we're going to put you in these situations of limited visibility and chaos. And we're going to show you through that you can achieve and you can push through things farther than you thought you were capable of doing even at the time. And the way that they do that, they all kind of follow a pretty loose formula. Like the order that these things happen in can vary. The severity of how they happen certainly varies. But there's always a welcome party, and that's how every Grow Ruck starts. And it's just an indeterminate number of hours where they're just smoking you. It's everything that they can think of. Everybody's got a ruck, and you're just getting smoked. You just absolutely crushed at the very beginning. And cadre are looking for those guys, those high performers. And they're looking for ways to smoke them a little bit harder, trying to even the playing field before with everybody before you get on the road.
How much weight is in your ruck?
So 30-pound plate is always the minimum, and then kind of the amount of water you have to carry makes up the rest of it. I know for ours we had to have 3 liters of water.
Yep.
And that's to last you how long?
Well, the whole just,
event? I mean, just in between.
Couple hours
until you're dude, one of the worst parts of Grow Ruck is when you stop and you get to rest, and then just before you go again, you have to fill your water back up. And then your ruck gets 10 pounds heavier, and it's like, this is awful. I'd just go without the water if I could. So everybody's got their rucks on, so you get done with the welcome party, and then you're rucking. It's always overnight, and it's always at an indeterminate finish time. Like, you don't know when you're done. You know nothing about where you're going. You're not allowed to have a watch, no phones, no electronics, nothing that can track you. Like, they've literally, like, they've kicked dudes off for having, like, one of the, what do they call those? The tags, air tags.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So nobody's allowed to have any of that. So like the idea is just completely disorient you and just to put you in the middle of your pain cave all night. At some point, you're going to get in the water. You're going to get wet. At some point, there are going to be logs. And there's going to be a PT test. And everybody is going to have a moment through that event where you just think, fuck, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't know if I can do this anymore. I want to quit. And it's having everybody else around you to get you through that moment and past that hurdle, that mental and physical hurdle, and keep you pushing through the night. So it's, and the stories are always amazing. It's always, it's a little bit different flavor everywhere you go, and the different groups of people. So with that loose framework, yeah. Chiefs, what'd you get out of Seattle? What made you actually want to do that? Because there are tons of guys here in Boise. A bunch of us did the one that was here. Other guys have been to Seattle before. Other guys have done them in California. Like, hearing all the stories that we told, what made you think,
Well, it was in Seattle. So I grew up in Washington, and I have a brother that lives in Seattle. So I casually mentioned it in front of Rocket Man. Like, oh, I might look into doing that. And then that next Saturday beatdown, it was with Dark Helmet over at the Coop.
Oh, yeah.
And at the end, he's like, hey, if anyone's going to Grow Rock, Cheeks is doing it. So just contact him. I'm like, okay.
And HC.
Yeah. It's just the Nantan of the nation calling you out in the middle of everything.
Yeah. So that's when I like was like, all right, I guess I'm doing it. So it was hard because I saw you guys training for it. That was like right when I started F3 is when you guys were like hard into the training for it and when I took my sabbatical. So like not having somebody else that was going up there and doing it. So just going to as many beatdowns as I could, as you know, six days a week, and just pushing as hard as I could. I didn't do a whole lot of extra outside of the regular workouts. So
did you feel relatively prepared? Do you think that was enough, or was there?
Yeah,
I guess were you prepared? And then was there a point where in the night you were like, man, I wish I had trained this more?
Yeah, I didn't know if it was enough going into it. I talking to like Canuck said, if you just run and get your legs solid, that'll be enough, right? And so I felt like I leg strength was good, and so you know there were guys that maybe didn't train a whole lot, and like within the first hour of the actual ruck were carrying their packs and their plates. They all finished 35 out, 35 in.
Wow, that's great.
But what you said with the welcome party, that was brutal. We were in Lake Washington like four different times with our rucks on.
Oh yeah.
Merkins, squats.
During the welcome party?
Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
Flutter kicks with the waves smashing over, and we shouldn't have been in there, we found out later. It was like a more, you know, like the algae bloom was way too high. Like,
it was so gnarly.
Toxic, whatever. Gross. Like, whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, that was like, I don't know, probably 2 hours of welcoming and, just burning you out. And then three rounds through the night. So the sandbags, so 60 to 120 pounds. Like the 120, you're with another dude carrying that and sharing the load and rotating under him. But you find out some guys may not rotate as many, and you've just got to pick up the slack. And like, we're all going to finish this. The logs were the worst part of it for sure. So every time, like, you didn't think you'd see them again, you're around a corner and there's the freaking logs again. It's like, you got to carry those another mile or whatever. So those, that was challenging.
So they would rotate you sandbags, logs.
It's like, just ruck, then sandbags, ruck, logs, ruck, sandbag.
Oh, interesting.
So we saw the logs three times and the sandbags three times.
Wow.
Yeah. So that, and every time it's just, all right. And you don't have the watch, but, you know, you're walking through, like, downtown Seattle, and so you see there's some random clocks and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's got to be, like, 2:30 in the morning. Look up, it's like 11:30. Oh, no way.
That's, like, there is, oh man, that's
no way.
That's so demoralizing.
Yeah, I was like, I wish I hadn't seen that.
So what was the start time? What time did you guys finish?
6 p.m. to about 8:30, 9 a.m. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. took me like a week to recover sleep schedule.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
it was just brutal. But hardest thing I've ever done mentally, physically, spiritually, like a lot of prayer time out there.
Yeah.
Just went like just hurting and just like, Lord, just take this pain away just for a little bit.
Dude, like, yeah. I mean, sometimes you're walking on the road and it's just like your awareness shrinks to like you and maybe your battle buddy if you have enough bandwidth for that.
Yeah.
And it's just, dear Lord, just if that guy tells me that he's done with that sandbag after 15 seconds one more time.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And they rotate so you have a platoon leader. So we had two groups. We split 35 up into about 17. Platoon leader and assistant platoon leader. So each leg of that, they change out who's the leader. But the leaders can't help you carry weight. They can't get under the log. They can't do the sandbag. They're just helping organize and helping get across streets and counting guys and making sure everybody's together and close. And then, again, games of failure. Like, you get too much of a gap, and the cadres are like,
yeah,
nope. Punishment time.
And find the bottom of a squat.
Yeah. Yeah. The 50 burpees with your ruck on at the welcome party was not fun.
No.
Dude.
Yeah.
That sounds wild.
Yeah.
That sounds wild.
That's at the start.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And so did you didn't know anybody going into this, just Gopher. Did you develop any relationships?
Yeah. Yeah. I think just like when you go anywhere in the nation and hey, I'm an F3 guy. Here's who I am. You immediately have a bunch of friends.
Yeah.
That just shared experience and brotherhood. So we did the King Builder in the morning. So he met a lot of guys doing that. And Gopher had already connected with a bunch. So he introduced me. So, yeah, it didn't take too long to connect with a bunch of dudes.
Well, and then you're shoulder to shoulder, you know, either under the log or under that 120-pound sandbag. You get to know those guys pretty good, yeah. You know, because you're sticking with them the whole night.
Yeah.
I felt when I did mine, I felt so bad for the guys that were picked to do the platoon leader and assistant platoon leader for the first time.
Yeah.
Because they had no frame of reference.
Yeah.
Right. And they just got demolished by the cadres.
Yeah.
Right. Like they have to figure out with no help how to coordinate all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if it's some guy that's, you know, not necessarily prone to leadership or has any leadership skills, you're gonna have a bad time, you know. And so, I don't know if that was your experience too. If they kind of suffered through that,
they did. Yeah, it got better through the night because you're figuring it out. But they picked one of the guys. You could just tell did not want to be any part of that role.
Oof.
So the first half of his part was pretty brutal. Just the feedback and cadre and body language. But then we're like. Come on, like, you know, just encouraging and trying to, and he snapped out of it and he took it on and figured it out. And so that was cool to see that. We're like, dude, of everyone, you grew the most, like in that hour. So that was pretty powerful. So, the hardest part was like the last probably hour and a half, right? Where they're like, four of you just got hit by a drunk driver. Yeah. And so, of course, they pick the two biggest, strongest dudes and then a couple of smaller dudes. And so you have to carry a fireman carrier, two-man carrier, their packs and their, or just, you know, over your shoulders, fireman carry. So at one point I had three rucks on.
Bro.
So two on my back, one on the front.
Sounds awful.
Yeah, it's just you've got three people carrying the biggest dude, and so like, what are you gonna do? You got to figure it out.
Suck it up. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. So what were you gonna quit?
Yeah, no. And then the fireman carry. So just like the last mile, just every probably 200 feet, you carry and drop, and
that
was brutal. It was brutal.
We got pretty lucky the one that we did here in town because we finished at Table Rock and then came back down. So they couldn't, like, they didn't want to start killing people, like, as we're trying to come down the freaking mountain.
Yeah.
So it was, like, it was only, like, the last couple hundred yards but they killed more than half of us.
No.
Oh, dude, it was, like, at first, everybody had to bring a tourniquet. And so at the beginning, they taught you how to apply a tourniquet. So everybody had tourniquets on them. And so it was, like, they dropped half of us. Get a tourniquet on your buddy. And they just go around going, not tight enough. He's dead.
Wow.
And then as we're dragging dudes and picking dudes up and moving guys, they're like, and more of you are dead. Yeah. It's like my profile pic on the Tracking website. That's me carrying Pearl.
Yeah, there you go.
At the end there. And it's just like, oh my God, that was awful. That last, but it was only a couple hundred yards. So like we were literally within sight of the finish when they started killing us.
Yeah. It was a long way.
Wow. Yeah. And you're exhausted.
Yeah.
And I was picked to be dead on ours. So the cadre just comes by and he taps me on the shoulder. He's like, you're dead. What? He's like, get down. You're dead. I'm like, all right. And so before you know it, there's like five or six guys that are just laying there. And he calls out, yeah, you got friends that are dead. You got to pick them up. We got to keep going. And then, yeah, every, it felt like 50 feet, they would say, you know, something like, you know, they're firing on us. You have to get down. Right. So you had to put the guy down. Everyone gets down with their packs.
Which was always gently, I imagine.
Right. And then it's like, all right, back up. And so I'm like, I'm being lifted up and I'm being put back down. I'm being lifted up. And I felt for these guys because I'm just being carried. So for me being dead, it wasn't as bad, but. Having to carry three rucks,
dude. That's not always comfortable being carried.
No,
though, either.
No. Yeah, that's fair.
No, like bruised ribs. Yeah,
shoulders in places that shoulders aren't supposed to go
for sure. But the guys that were leading the cadres, they said this was the first one they've led that every single guy that started finished.
Wow.
And so that was cool to hear and see guys push through what they what they wouldn't have been able to otherwise.
Yeah. I mean that really is the big takeaway. It's like everything is deliberately hard. It's harder than it should be, really. But the idea is to teach you, it's like you're gonna hit that moment and like something is gonna come along in your life that's just gonna can take you out. It's gonna be unexpected and it's going to be awful and it's gonna be terrible. What are you gonna do? Are you gonna quit?
Yeah.
I mean it's an option. It's a bad option, but it's something that you can do. And I think that's one of the things that I think we take for granted with F3 is like we spend all this time and it's, you know, it's adult recess and we get to go out and play with our friends and, you know, have fun. And if you're not paying attention to the lessons that you're being taught kind of passively through a beat down and through fellowship and through a circle of trust, man, you're not getting everything that you could from F3 if you're not paying attention to those lessons being taught to you. And I think just a grow ruck is just the next level.
Yeah.
You know, it's accelerating that. It's putting a microscope on it. It's literally putting you in that place of like physical and mental collapse. And what are you going to do now that you've found that limit? You learn that I can actually go further.
Yep.
I can actually go farther than I thought I could in that moment. And you find that mental and physical fortitude to say, I'm just going to keep moving. I'm just going to keep, it sucks. It hurts. I don't want to do this, but I'm going to continue to move forward. And if we can take that into some other aspects of our lives when things get hard, man, I think that's a huge deal, especially when we think, you know, the mission of F3, plant, grow, and serve, small workout groups for men for the invigoration of male community leadership. So it's not always the guy at the front in the position of leadership who is going to be that leader in those moments either, right? I think every beatdown needs somebody who's not the Q to be out there trying to push guys to go harder.
Yeah.
Hey, let's accelerate. Let's go faster. He said mosey, damn it, not walk. Let's move. Let's go. You can do a better rep than that. That's not a squat. Get down. And those are those moments, right? If we can find that in this controlled environment where everything is actually relatively safe, even though it feels kind of accelerated and you feel like your ass is kind of hanging out there in the wind and it, but it's a controlled environment and we can push those limits and we can find where we can go when we get into our pain cave and we keep our head down and we just keep moving, like that is a big deal to figure out.
Yep.
That I can go further and I can do more. And then once I know where those limits are, like I can take other people through that. Mm. I've been where you've been.
Yeah.
I've been in the middle of this suck. Get your head up and look for work.
Yeah.
And then you can help people move forward through those moments. Because the first time you hit those limits, man, it just, you got no bandwidth for anything else, right? It's my next step, this next movement, like where's the next rest point? But once you have the measure of it, now now once I've got some familiarity with that moment and who you are going to be under stress, now I can plan for what that's going to look like.
Yeah. Yeah. And definitely we can't do it on our own. Like there's no way we could do it, do that thing on our own. So it is the guy next to you that you're working for, and mm-hmm. they're working for you and helping each other out. And I think part of it was like all you guys, like an entire, every guy I've done a beat down with here, so I was the only one there. So I felt like I was representing Boise for sure. Yeah. Right. And a lot of the guys there remembered you guys that had done it when you were, I don't know, was it, I don't know if you, were, you weren't.
Seeing I was, it. Yeah, I didn't go to that one. I'd started F3 just before they went, like that September.
Retina and some of the other, like.
They, or June.
I think they remembered a bunch of the Boise guys. And like, yeah, they're hard.
Well, a few of them were wearing kilts, so.
Yeah.
It was memorable.
Freighter. Tactical kilt.
Yeah. So that was a part that helped push me through it too. Just like, hey, I'm representing you guys too, and I'm not going to be looked at, as, you know. So that helped. So like the PT test, that was like at 2 a.m. and yeah, that was a surprise.
Nobody cares what you can do when you're fresh.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, it's 2 minutes of Merkins. I'm trying to remember the number. I think it was like 42 or 47, something like that. So, and then 2 minutes of big boy sit-ups. I think it was 57 of those. And then a 2 mile run in under 18 minutes.
Wow. Did they give you the criteria beforehand?
No.
Okay. So
as many as you can in 2 minutes.
Wow. And
after, it's like, well, if you hit this number, you passed.
Mm. Was there a good percentage of people that didn't hit that?
Yeah. So after the run, everyone's back. They're like, okay, if you didn't pass one of those three, come over here. Everybody gets up. There were only five, so I was one of five that passed all three.
Hell yeah,
good for you. Yeah.
So that was cool. I felt pretty good about that for sure.
Five out of 35. 35.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Scary. Good job.
So, yeah, it's the prep. Just I was just doing the regular beatdowns.
Yeah.
Right. And that was, yeah. So it was cool.
That's cool.
Good job, man.
Yeah, I just listened to The Comfort Crisis again. My wife and I went to Bend and we listened to that. And so it was cool to listen to it with my wife, you know, because, I mean, a lot of the stuff that I talk about a lot comes from that book. And so when I hear these stories, I'm like, wow, why would anybody pay money, travel to go do this? You know what I mean?
Two patches. I got, that's why I did it.
Yeah. For the clout, dude, for the street cred, for the F3 street cred.
The Masogi.
Yeah, dude, that's right. That's exactly right.
First rule, don't die.
Don't die. And so, you know, and then re-listening to it after, you know, because I listened to it the first time when I first started doing F3, and it was really kind of this little, you know, catalyst that really kept me coming back out and like, yeah, I'm doing it. And then after having done it for a little while and then going back and re-listening to the book, I mean, it truly does, you know, because they talk about your circle of comfort, you know, and then your circle of comfort can shrink whenever you get too comfortable, you know? And so, and your standard of comfort meets or kind of levels out to wherever you are, you acclimate to that level of comfort. So if you can push and do hard things and stretch that circle of comfort, then like, man, you know, sitting in traffic won't bother you if you've been doing, you know, Merkins at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, just like whatever, just the little stuff, you know, cause you think of the hard things, the hard things. We live in a pretty cushy, you know, world. And so we fortunately don't have a lot of hard things, but dude, that sounds awesome. I've only ever done anything like that once. I went backpacking. It was brutal. It was super brutal. And coming back and like, I ran out of water. We're on the way back down. And I was like, it was like, thirsty? Good. Keep moving. I just had that Jocko, you know, that Jocko mindset. I was just like, oh, just over and over and over. So Pain Cave, I've heard that. I don't know where that originates from, but.
I've heard it from Hooch. That's where I hear it from.
Yeah, I don't know where I heard it, but yeah, no, it's a thing. You just get in there and it's just like, this sucks.
Yeah.
But this is where this is where I live right now.
Yeah. So Cheeks, what's maybe the biggest takeaway from the GTE experience that you want to share with the F3 Boise guys?
Yeah, I think it's the design of it, right? You were just saying get out of the comfort zone. That's what that whole welcome party's for. You're getting wet. You're getting uncomfortable. All your crap's getting wet. And it's the rest of the night's not going to be fun. It's not going to be pleasant. So fighting through that to tackle everything else. But really, I think it's that last hour and a half where you're just like, how are we going to finish? And you just do. And you just with the dudes around you and picking each other up. So I think that's probably the biggest takeaway. Like, I didn't think I could do that much and that many things and that long. But it's just little sections at a time. And so it definitely, like, getting back and things that were like hard job wise or going through, you know, personally wise, and just like, it's not as bad.
Just peanuts.
Yeah, it's not as bad. When you go through that experience, that shared experience with other guys, that you're just all in pain and pushing as hard as you can. Yeah, it makes the things that you thought were hard before not so bad.
Bring some perspective, and then you realize how much you've got in the tank.
Yeah.
You know, there's maybe some backup tanks that you didn't realize you had. So when I did the PT test, I think I failed it by just 2 sit-ups. Yeah. And I checked all the other boxes. It was 2 sit-ups. And the cadre said to me, he goes, if you knew you had just 2 more, did you have those in you?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, probably if I had known. But it's like those words haunt me. It's like, okay, I've always got 2 more in me, right? It's amazing when you think you're at your limit, how much more you can push through. So that's super inspiring.
Yeah. So the fireman carry with the dudes the last mile was brutal. And there were guys that just couldn't. They just couldn't do more than their ruck. And they were at their limit. So it's, I don't want to do this again, but nobody else is stepping in there. So let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good job, man. That's
that's
fantastic.
Thanks. And thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Rocket Man, for...
The antagonist
that
was right there. Thanks, Rocket Man.
No, really, though. Thank you. Right? He kept me going when I wasn't coming out, and he's like, he just keeps pushing me, and he does that for a lot of dudes, right? But that's part 100%. Of our job is to just keep that 1% better and just keep pushing and getting better.
Yeah. So, I 100% without reservation, I'd recommend everybody, if you've been a part of F3 for any significant amount of time, like, a grow ruck is something that should be on your list of things to tackle and accomplish. And I know, like, someday it's going to come back to Boise. I'm really not looking forward to it because I know I'm going to have to do another one at that point. And I will. So one of the things, you guys, if that's in the future for you, I want you to think about, like, there's a moment in there, like, there are personal moments, but there are also moments as a group, like the sunriser that always happens at the end of a grow ruck. And unfortunately, without, like, being there, you're not going to know what that impact is. So you wait for those moments, and they're incredible. So it's difficult, but it's worth it. 100%.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
So they built you back up. You're better now.
Yeah. It took a few days.
That's sure. Good. Good.
The feet.
Yeah.
Did your toenails fall off?
No, but you know, you get some chafage going.
Oh, dude. Oh, the body glide, man. It's requisite.
Well, with putting you guys in the water that early.
Yeah. 4 times.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah.
So.
Dude, it's awesome. Again, thank you for sharing your story. We really appreciate it. I hope that really sells Grow Ruck to somebody who's thinking about, you know, what that could be and if that's something that you want to dive into. But let that be a lesson, guys. There's always a little bit harder that we can be pushing out there in the gloom. Find somebody that you can push. Don't just pick up the 6. Freaking make it your job and your duty to get that guy up to the front and get him moving. All right?
Is it Freedom Ops? Oh, my bad.
No, you're good.
No, same deal, man.
Yeah.
But hey, thank you for joining us once again. So we're going to wish you guys a fond farewell, and we'll see you next time. So this has been James Whitman, Hooch.
Gary Marcel, 37, Cortana.
Air Gunner, 36, Bedpan.
Ryan Hill, 49, Cheeks.
Love you guys. See you in the gloom.
Bye.
Later.